felt like God skipped over you when he passed out the talents? How many here have ever felt like sometimes you were just an accident? I knew that was coming. I remember years ago, my mama telling my sister she was her little accident. And I used to think it was cute. There's mama's little accident. She was born 9 years after me. And then I realized something. No, there's no such thing as an accident, because God knows. God knows. God already has provided. God's got everything under control. So there's no such thing as a nobody in God's economy. There's no such thing as a person that does not have a talent. There's no such thing as a person that just is God just let just slide by and has nothing to do. Guess what? I want you right now, every last one of you, don't point to the person beside you. I want you to point to yourself. And I want you to say, I am somebody in Christ. I want you to say, listen to this, and I have something to do for him. Now I want you to look at the person beside you and say, you are not a nobody. And God has something for you to do too. Amen. It is so important that we understand this. It is the last days. From the stuff you heard from Walter Jones and the stuff we've heard from so much stuff around here, watching Hezbollah and how they're taking over, and watching how ISIS is already taking over in Iraq. All of our American lives, all these guys that lost their lives in Iraq for nothing. I mean, how more can we say it? For nothing. Because everything they fought for is gone. And we should have just left a peacekeeping troop there like we do in Korea and in other places, you know, in Japan and other places. But instead, we pulled them all out, and it went right back to worse than it was to start with. And you see this stuff going on around us. And again, Satan would like to say, look at us and tell us individually, you're nothing, you're nobody, what you do does not count. But guess what? You aren't a nobody. You are a somebody. God has a call for each of us. And this is more just nuts and bolts. Remember, we're doing nuts and bolts. What happened to it? I need one paper. Is that your paper? Don't give me your paper. Okay. Okay. Back to basics, nuts and bolts. Last week it was back to basics and nuts and bolts of salvation. And I hope that you take that paper, and it's not a know-all, share-all, everything you want to know about salvation, but it's a basic understanding that you can take. If anybody's asking you about salvation, then you can use it to better maneuver and to tell people why you believe in salvation and what salvation is about. And again, too many times we get caught up in church and what the church is all about, and we forget that why we're here. How many know we're not just here to feel good? We're not just here to fill up a pew. Amen? I mean, if we were just here to fill up a pew, we could go get us some mannequins and set them out in the pew just to fill up a pew. And if we were just here to feel good, then what we can do is play Red Skelton. Everybody can laugh tonight because Red Skelton's up here. You know, we're not here just to feel good. We're not here to fill up a pew. We're here to learn so that we can make a difference. When we go back out tomorrow and go into our respective jobs and our respective homes, God has called every last one of us to make a difference. But what the church is for, the church is here to build you up, to educate you, to train you, to get you ready to go out. I've heard people say, well, why don't the pastor get more people into church? Well, that's not biblical. It's the church brings in the church. I bring them in too. Yes, I try my best to bring them in. But if it was just me, guess what? If I was the only one bringing them in, we'd have a very small congregation. Next year, if every one of us wins one, the church doubles. God has called all of us to make a difference in the community. And God has given every last one of us something to do. So it's really important. So let's go through this now. The world measures significance by your pocketbook, by your job description, by how many people may work underneath you, or how famous your name may be. That's how the world judges significance, but that's not how God judges it. You know, the woman with the little woman with she put in the two mites. Look at her. She was more significant than all those other people. They were dropping in stuff in the offering that day because God spoke up about her, how significant she was. He said she gave out of everything she had. So remember, it's not success like the world sees it. It's not by who you are. It's not by how many work underneath you. It's not by how much you make. You don't judge it by your pocketbook. You don't judge it by how many Facebook friends you have. How you judge success is you learn. Here's why she says, listen carefully. You learn, and it's always a daily process. Nobody ever knows everything all the time. It's not. It's a daily process. Daily you seek God's will. Daily you seek His direction, but through His word and through prayer and through other things, and we're going to talk about it through nuts and bolts, but you seek His direction, and daily you apply it to your life and you use it to make a difference in somebody else's life. When you do that, then you are a success. It has nothing to do with your pocketbook. It has nothing to do with your job title. It has nothing to do with anything. With that, as the world sees it, so there's a lot of people out there that the world would count as not a success at all, but in God's economy, they're a strong success because they're seeking God and they're seeking His word and seeking His will and trying to make a difference. So here it is. Every one of us in here, God has a plan for your life. Every one of you. None of y'all tonight. Look, tonight nobody stumbled in. Nobody stumbled in. I remember one night, I think I told you about this, that I think I might have told you lately about the time that I was in Benson, and I'd had a dream, and in the dream I saw the church packed out, and then the church was packed out, something spectacular was going to happen, and it did, because in that dream I saw the church packed out, and a couple weeks later the church was packed out, just like it was in my dream, but the spectacular thing was a drunk man walked in with cut off shorts. He looked like he'd cut him while he was drunk. And his shirt was tore, and he stumbled in, his hair was all messed up, and he stumbled at the back door, and I said, come on in, get a seat. And he walked in and looked through, and he found, it was the only place he could find a real good seat was up front. There was a little spot on the front pew, and so he went up and he sat on the front pew. And honestly, I think it scared some people half to death, because they had never seen a wild man in church before. But you know what? That day he got saved. That day something happened, and he came back. Next time he came back to church, he was in a three-piece suit. God had done something special with him. But you see, again, God, there's no such, he told me when he was riding by, I said, what made you decide to stop here? And he said, here's what he told me. He said, I really messed up this weekend. I really, really messed up. He says, I live about 20 miles from here. And he said, I was ashamed to go back to my city because I'd messed up so bad. And he said, I was ashamed to even anybody even know me. And he said, I was riding down the road and I said, God, you got to send me somewhere where I can get some relief. And he said, when I rode by your church, he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, go in there, they will accept you. And the man got saved. Awesome. 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 But you see, again, he didn't just wander in that day. God directed him. That's right. He didn't just wander in. So the same way, on Sunday morning, when you see the people on Sunday morning, think about this. There's some people that don't show up that could, and they'll miss out on what God has for them, but I guarantee the ones that are here, God has already directed, has a plan for them to learn something that day. I mean, I've been to services where I said, well, I didn't get a whole lot out of that one, and I go home, and a couple of days later, I needed that information that I got. And I said, wait a minute, I didn't think I needed that service. Matter of fact, I needed it more than I even knew I needed it. So again, watch this now. We're going to go through this. Nine things. It's got to do with your calling, your significance. Remember, everybody in this church is significant to God. There's no big I's, no little U's. Everybody is significant in the eyes of God. There's no mistakes. There's no has-beens. There's no wannabes. God has a plan for everybody. So, number one, here's what I want you to understand. Number one, each of us has a particular mission on earth. How many knows that? There's nobody here that when you were born, God went, oops. There's nobody here that when you were born, God said, I don't know, I'm going to do with him. You know, my mama said after I was born, and then my brothers were born, she said, I thank you, God, that Larry and Gary weren't like, my nickname's Cricket. She said, I'm so glad Larry and Gary weren't like Cricket. I'd have had a heart attack. And so I used to hear that stuff, and I'd say, and sometimes I even think, well, Lord, was I that bad? Was I that rough? You know, and then and there's even times where I'd even wonder, because I heard stuff like that, do you really have something for me to do? Have you ever felt that way? Guess what? God's got something for every last one of us. And you may be, listen, you may be maybe 100 miles from his wheel, so to speak. You may be going in another direction, but you know what? There's going to come a time with everything moving around. He'll get things moved around to where everything will fall into place and God will do something special. Amen? So here we go. Everybody has a particular mission on earth. Jeremiah 1 and 5. I love this. Before I formed thee in the belly. Mom and dad, yes, mom and dad, there's a procreation there. But mom and dad were important for the procreation. But you know what? God doesn't even need mom and dad for procreation because he sent his son without a dad. God said, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, before thou was born, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet for unto the nations. So God had a job for Jeremiah before Jeremiah even knew it. God had a job for Jeremiah before Jeremiah even knew God. Everybody in here, God's got a job for every last one of us. Some of us may never stand in a pulpit. Some of us may never pick up an instrument and play. Some of us may never, whatever. There's all kinds of things you can say we might not ever do. But you know what? Every last one of us, there's something we can do. And you know, there's people today that use their talents on their job and use their talents wherever. They may not even know God, but God has already gifted them. The difference is they're using that gift. They just don't realize that that gift is from God. And if they give it to God, how much more the talent will be increased. So you know, one of the persons I think of the most, I think of all the time, not all the time, but I'm thinking about people that have the talent of God, is when I think about Elvis. You know, Elvis actually was Assembly of God. And, of course, he had a twin brother that died, but Elvis, him and Jerry Lee Lewis, they'd go play in the churches. And then, of course, Jimmy Swaggart and Mickey Gilly, they're all kin to each other. They're all cousins. But Jimmy Swaggart and not Elvis. Elvis is not kin to them. I got it mixed up. Elvis is not kin to them. Jerry Lee, let me get it right. Jerry Lee, Jimmy, and Mickey are all cousins. Okay. At the same time, here comes Elvis. Let me get it right. Don't go say the preacher said Elvis is cousins with them guys. No, he's not. Okay, but they're all playing at the same time. They're all out there. They're all getting with it. And only one actually follows the call, and that's Jimmy. Okay? But it was said of Elvis, deep down inside, he wanted to be a preacher. And Elvis said himself, if he could go back and do it again, if there was something he could do, if he could do what he wanted to do, he wanted to be a preacher. And you know, when I was a disc jockey, I had a two-hour show. And on Elvis's birthday, we always played Elvis gospel. And you know, for two whole hours, I played Elvis gospel. I never played the same song twice. It may have been. Yeah, he wanted to do gospel. But see, once he got in the machine pushed him. And the colonel pushed him. And he wound up doing this stuff. But can Can you imagine that talent focused? What would happen? The same way, Jerry Lee Lewis, in church, but instead he went the other way. And so you look at all this stuff. God has all this talent for all of us. Some of us in here, you don't even know some of the stuff you could do. You have no idea. Some of the stuff you're capable of doing. But God's got something for every one of us, and he knew it before you had any idea. I like this. Galatians 1 and 15 says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I may preach him among the heathens, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. But when he who had chosen and set me apart even before I was born," here's Paul talking, "he set me apart even before I was born and had called me by his grace, his undeserved favor and blessing, saw fit, and it pleased him to reveal his son with me." And here's Saul of Tarsus who is growing in religion. And God's plan for him was not religion. God's plan for him was salvation. So again, God has a plan for every last one of us. Did you know that? Again, I can't say it enough. God has a plan. Nobody in here is a nobody. Or if you want to say correct English, not anybody in here is a nobody. I reckon that's correct English. I can't even tell anymore. Okay. Now, and again, nobody in here is an accident. God knows all about you. Amen? So, number one, each of us has a particular mission on earth. Number two, this is so awesome. I want you to listen, because I'm getting ready to get in some tough nuts and bolts, and it may be a little squeaky, and it may be a little tight, but I want you to listen, because this will help you grow. Ready? Because each of us has a different mission, we should not compare ourselves with anyone else. Do you know that's where the most problems come from in a church? Is when we compare ourselves to somebody else. Or it's what causes us the most pain as a Christian. We see what somebody else has got and we say, why don't we have that? Or why isn't God doing that in my life? Or God, if I could have that talent. We see somebody with a talent, they're not using it effectively, and say, if I had that talent, God, I know what I'd do with it. And so we see all that, and we try to call it like that, but you know what? That's not so. But look, 2 Corinthians 12 and 10 says, "We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves amongst themselves are not wise." Do you know that God gives us our talents and our calling not to compete with one another? God gives us our different callings to complete one another. Amen? You know, how many know what's the guy's name that climbed Mount Everest? Sir Hilt, yeah, I was starting to say Hilton. He's got a hotel. whatever his name is. He gets the credit for climbing to the top of Mount Everest. But do you know how many people helped him? Just in the climb itself, there was over 70 people. And they climbed a little bit, did their job, then they thinned out, and they climbed a little bit more, and they thinned out, and they climbed a little bit more, and they thinned out, and they climbed a little bit more. And then when he got right to the top, there was two of them, and they thinned out, and he went to the top. And he gets his artist recognition for climbing the top of the mountain like he climbed it all by himself. He did. He had a tremendous team of hundreds that helped him climb that mountain. He gets all the recognition, but you know what? He didn't do all that. Thomas Edison, all those thousands of patents and all those thousands of inventions, but do you think he invented every last one of them himself? He had hundreds of people working day in and day out, figuring out stuff. And he had all these things going on at one time. He was overseeing the stuff, yes, but did he come up with every idea? No. But he was there. Again, everybody has a part to play. No matter what you see or no matter who gets the credit for it, if you don't care who gets the credit for it, every last one of us has a part to play. You know, I really mean this when I say this. And I've said it so many times. You know what? When I get before God, I would rather get credit from God than get credit from man. And so somebody may not ever know what I've done down here. But you know what? That's okay, because he's watching. And he's paying attention, and he sees what's going on. So it's important. We don't compare ourselves to each other. We're not here to compete. We're here to complete. We're here to make a difference. Now, let's take it a little bit further. Get ready to get down into some deep nuts and bolts right now. God has given us different talents that are appropriate, listen carefully, that are appropriate to our mission. God's given each of us different talents that are appropriate to our mission. How many has seen those little old, those basset hounds? Those basset hounds, some people think they're the most beautiful things ever been. Some people think they're the ugliest thing ever been. My uncle raised them, and he raised some pretty ones, and he loved them things. And I'm not saying whether they're good, bad, or ugly, because I've seen some pretty ones and some ugly. I did find out something, though. In the Bible, you know there's one animal that's not mentioned, one domestic animal that's not mentioned in the Bible? Cat. Okay. So, because I'm a dog man. I think labs are everywhere. I think you can find labs everywhere. Okay, so here we go. Yes, there's dogs mentioned in the Bible. Jezebel, when she fell down off of the wall, what ate her face off? The dogs. And when Lazarus, he let the dogs lick his sores. Matter of fact, one of the dogs was even named Moreover. He said, Moreover, the dog licked his little sores. Okay, y'all got me cutting up now. Let's get back over here. Oh, not everything's mentioned in the Bible. I didn't mean it like it meant there's no such thing as cats and they're all evil, although, you know, that if you're a cat person, don't feel bad. God made cats too. Amen. I was just cutting up. I'm just cutting up. Everything's cool. Hey. Cats will be there. I know God said, is my cat going to heaven? I don't know. The movie says all dogs go to heaven. I didn't see all cats go to heaven. There were so many dogs that had all the dogs go to heaven too. They had to have a second trip. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Dogs got to have something to chase. They were made by God. We done gone way out of here somewhere. Let's get back over this way. Okay. But I'm going to look up cats. I'm going to look up cats, all right? By Sunday, I'll give somebody something about to do with cats. All right. All right, so watch this now. As I was talking about the basset hounds were bred for going through thick brush and hunting. Okay? So my lab couldn't go where that basset hound could go because my lab was not built to go where that basset hound could go. And the same way, you couldn't get a warthog to get the fruit off top of the tree like a giraffe. So every animal has got its, think about it, every animal there is something that animal was designed to do. Okay? So the same way, every last one of us were designed to fulfill a mission for God. And so because we were designed to fulfill a mission for God, everybody in here has a talent. You might not have discovered it yet, or maybe you have discovered it and didn't know it was your talent. You say, well, what did God give me to do? Well, it was my gift. Well, I can tell you, think about this. What's something you really like to do, and what's something that you're good at, and it requires very little for you to be able to do it effectively? You look and follow those three questions right there, and you'll start working toward what your gift is in God. All right? Still need training. You still need somebody to help you, but that's where you can start looking towards your gift. But here it is. I want you to do what we're going to go here to this scripture. The Bible tells us, it says, For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods. Jesus went up to the Father. And unto him he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Now I just want you to think about something now. God knows what you're capable of doing. How does he know what you're capable of doing? Because he gave you those capabilities. If the one that the one, it's like you heard me talking about a guy had bought him a model, it was a Model T, or I think it was a Model T. He's stuck in the middle of the road with his Model T, and he can't get it to run, can't get it to work, and he's so aggravated with the thing. And a guy pulls up behind him and says, "Are you having trouble?" He says, "Yes, I wish the man that invented this could get his hand on this. I would tell him something." He said, "Let me look at it for a minute." And he goes up and he looks up under it, and he looks at it, he sees it, he says, "Give me that wrench." He takes that wrench and he turns the wrench and says, "Give me that wire." He put the wire here, and the car ran up and ran the best it had run since he'd had it. He said, "Wow, that's awesome. Who are you?" He says, "I'm the guy you're looking for." Henry Ford drove up behind him, you know, and helped him. So everybody has got something to do. Now, in the world, this is really bad on jobs. How many's ever been to work with somebody that had a critical spirit? How many's ever worked with somebody that you just couldn't do anything right for them? How many's ever had somebody in your family that you actually, it hurts you sometimes to be around them because every time you got around them, they had something negative to say about you? Well, sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes that critical spirit comes from 2 things. Number one, they may not be busy doing what God has designed them for. And number two, maybe they don't appreciate what they were designed to do, and they're watching you and they think you're not handling it correctly, and so they judge and they come at and they talk about you. It's called a critical spirit. Now the Bible tells us that God hates a critical spirit. He wants us to judge the fruit, but not have a critical spirit or a judgmental spirit. Because what that does is it sows discord. And so he watches. And so that's why it's so important that I sent out something the other day that if everybody sweeps the trash out in front of their house, the whole street will be clean. Y'all remember that one? The Mighty Army? You know, the problem is, we leave our trash in the street, and we're talking about somebody else's trash. Okay? The same way, God's given us all talent. But if we're not careful, we're not worried about our talent. We're busy looking at somebody else and saying, "Well, if I could do that, I would do that different. And if I did that, I would do that different. Or why aren't they doing that this way or that way?" And pretty soon you get this critical spirit, and instead of going around and making things good and light and enjoyable, you get around and everybody's going. If you see these people around you, they're going. Every time you're talking to them, you know what? You may need to go back and say, "Lord, am I busy about your business, or am I busy about somebody else's? Help me, God. Help me see it." And how you wind up doing this is, again, you ask God to help you to discover your talent. And once you discover your talent, get busy. And once you get busy, what I have discovered is when I get busy about what God's called me to do, I find it so easy not to get caught up in what somebody else does. Amen? Have you thought about that? It's pretty cool. So now, watch this. God judges us by what, listen, here's carefully, this is carefully. God judges us by what we have done with what he has entrusted us with. He doesn't judge you by what I've done. He doesn't judge you by how I've handled his stuff. Again, if you're worried about how I'm handling his stuff, then you get a critical spirit. Pretty soon you're not doing your job and you're hindering mine, and vice versa, anybody's. And when your job I had people at Fountain. I remember one time the supervisor in engineering, left on a 6-week leave of absence because of a sickness. And they told me 2 weeks before they left, they said, "David, we need you to learn her job and that whole department's job. I'd been over here in my department. There was two departments. I was in my department and there was theirs. They said, we need you to learn their job. And I said, in 2 weeks? Why do you want me to learn their job? He said, because you're going to be the supervisor for 6 weeks. I said, okay, if that's what you want, that's what I'll do. So I was supervisor 6 weeks. The person came back off of sick leave, and I went back doing what I was supposed to be doing, and she had to go back out in a couple of weeks. And this time she went out for 8 weeks. And so they said, David, we need you back doing this job again. So I'm back doing this job again. And at the end of the 8 weeks, they said, you know what? We're just going to make you the supervisor. And I said, this ain't good. And they said, no, we want you to be supervisor. I said, this ain't going to fly. This is not going to do good. They said, no, don't you worry about that. We'll take care of it. I said, I'm not kidding. This is not going to be good. And they said, no, we want you to be supervisor. And so when the person came back, they'd already told me everything, had me all set up. And the day before she came back, they come in and said, we canceled it all. You just go back over there and she can be supervisor again. Because she raised such a stink. You know, and I said, I done told y'all that's what she was going to do. So I said, dodge that bullet. And within a month, our boss transferred. So they had to have a manager for that engineering department. And of course, my supervisor thought that they'd be the manager, and I thought that they'd be the manager. Well, when it come time for the manager, the COO called me in his office and said, guess who's going to be the manager? I said, who? He said, you, sign these papers. And I said, this ain't going to be good. And so I told him, I said, look, you need to tell her what you're doing because I've got nothing to do with this, nothing. I'm here minding my own business. I'm trying to do my own job. I only like what they're doing. I only like their job. I like to do mine. They said, okay, we'll handle it. And guess what? They didn't tell her. So I had to tell her. And I said, remember that job you wanted? She says, yeah, I can't wait. I said, yeah, you will. You can wait a little while. She said, why? And I said, I don't know if you're going to like your new boss or not. She said, I'm going to be the boss. Said, no. You got a new manager, but it's not you. And she said, well, who is it? Who took my job? And I said, I hate to tell you this. I didn't ask for this. They come and told me to take it. And I said, I am. And she didn't talk to me for 6 months. And then she went into the computer system just before we had a major audit and tinkered with everything and had it all messed up. And we found it the day before the audit, a major United States audit. And so I told my people, work on what you can work on. We'll pray to God. That's the only place they'll go. And that's the only place they went. So we worked on it. Praise God. But the whole thing was, again, and it made it hard to work. It made it so hard to work. It was terrible for a couple of months. What I was going to say is, though, that the whole point I even brought this out was, again, the reason they wanted me to take it is because she had mishandled the job. And they knew I was capable. I didn't ask for it. I tried to deter them. I asked them not to give it to me. I asked them, do not give this to me. And they gave it to me anyway. But the problem was, then they let me handle all the stuff that went wrong afterwards. But the point of the matter is, again, people, if they can control their talent and not worry about everybody else's talent, because when God judges us, he's not going to judge me for you. He's going to judge me for me. He's going to judge me what I did, how I handled what he gave me. Why does he entrust it? Matthew 25 and 20 says, and so he that received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained with him 5 more talents. His Lord said to him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many. Enter thou the joy of the Lord. He also received 2 talents, came, and the Lord delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, my good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I make thee ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Get ready. God judges us by what we have done with what he's given us. And those who don't use their talents, they're going to be rejected. Because the Bible says, see, God only asks us to do our best with what he's given us. Just do our best. And of course, a good attitude helps. It is fear and not relying on God that keeps us from being successful in the sight of God. Fear opposes and overcomes. Faith opposes and overcomes fear. Matthew 25 and 24 says, then he which received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, and I went, and I hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast is thine. His Lord answered and said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I strawed. Thou therefore should have put money to the exchangers, then at my coming thou would have received mine own with usury or with interest. Again, God's going to judge us. We don't have to judge each other by how we use our talents, because God's going to do that. All we do is we judge ourselves. God, am I doing it? Am I working? Am I really reaching out? Or, God, am I doing what you've called me to do? Am I actually doing something for you? Or I'm just too busy watching everybody else use their talent and complaining about their talent or thinking about their talent or how they should be using their talent that I even mess out, that I'm not going to be judged by them. I'm going to be judged by myself. So watch. The more we use our talents, the more will be given to us. 25 and 28 says, thou therefore take the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but unto him that hath not shall be taken away even that which they hath. Cast an unprofitable servant in the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And actually, that's what happened to this supervisor. Because pretty soon the supervisor didn't work in engineering anymore at all. And I hated it. I hated the whole thing. It just made me sick. I actually lost weight during that time. I prayed. I couldn't do it, but just pray. And I just sat at night and I prayed. And I said, God, I don't know why all this is happening. And I'm not comfortable with it. But Lord, I know you've got a call and I'm going to do what you got me to do. And so I tried, even when I saw the person off of the plant, I tried my best to talk sweet to them and to talk redemptive words to them, and they wouldn't talk to me. They would turn their head and walk off. And I said, I don't know what in the world to do, because I didn't do this. I did not do this. Now, again, God has a specific mission for everyone in this church. Everyone. How many knows that? Say it again. God has something specific. 1 Corinthians 12:14 says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, am I not the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole was hearing, where would be the smelling? And now God has set many members, every one of them, in the body as it's pleased him. Getting close to the end, y'all. God judges our significance in the kingdom of God by what we have done for Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he have built upon, he shall receive a reward. Now, what's that talking about? If you're a Christian, you're not going to the white throne of judgment. If you're a Christian, you're going to the bema judgment. There's two judgments. There's the judgment seat of Christ, and there's the white throne of judgment. The white throne of judgment is where the sinners are going, and that's where they're condemned to hell. And we'll be standing around, but we won't be there. We'll be standing around. But the bema judgment is where there's degrees. Just like in the Olympics, bema, that's what it is in the Olympics. When they come up and you see the people in the Olympics come up, and the bronze stands here, and the silver stands here, and the gold stands here. You know what that's called? The bema. The bema judgment. The judgment seat of Christ. When we stand before God, what he's going to do is he's going to take all the things we've done, and he's going to try it by fire. And the stuff that gets burnt, the stuff that we did for our own self, and the stuff we did that we shouldn't have been doing or whatever, it's going to be burning up behind us. And the only thing that's going to count is what we did for Christ. And so then, when we get there and we stand before him, it's going to be an awesome, awesome thing. Because once you stand there, remember, when you're standing here, they're not deciding whether you're going to heaven or hell. You're going to heaven. If you're at the beam of judgment, you're going to heaven. But you decide by your life what degree, how you're going to be rewarded when you get to heaven. That's why I think about some of these guys on television that are wearing these $20,000 and $30,000 Rolex watches, and they're talking about all these, you know, God, I prayed for God to give me an airplane, and God gave me a Learjet, and all this stuff. You know, a lot of those guys, they got their reward here. And when they get to the beam of judgment seat, I'm not sure if all that's going to fly. Ha ha. when they stand there. So watch. And then finally, we can take no credit for what we do because He made us. He gave us our talents. He gave us our call. He delivered us from He delivered us from us. So we you know, when somebody, that's when somebody goes, man, that was just awesome. I say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I say, praise the Lord, because He did it. You know, we're just His vessels. He did it. It's awesome. Look at what God can do. You know, I've seen some of the times, some of the greatest things done by some of the people you thought least would be able to do it at all, and they just did some amazing stuff. Why? Because it wasn't them. It was God through them. God isn't concerned as much about your ability as He is your availability. Because once you let God do it, wow, it's awesome. So, so, so awesome. Now, the first step is you got to belong to Christ. Second step is you got to understand that success is not counted in God as it's counted in the world. It's not your pocketbook. It's not your name. It's not your rank. It's what you do for God and how you do it. He's watching. And it's very important that we understand this. And when we do this, it kind of, you know what it does? When I started doing this and started being really concerned about God, am I living up to what you want me to do and how you want me to do it, what it actually did was I took my eyes off everybody else. Somebody said, well, did you notice they're not doing that quite right, or this person isn't doing what I think should be doing? And I go, no. Actually, I didn't even notice it. It's kind of like my wife would go, did you notice that? She'd say, that was sure was a pretty dress so-and-so was wearing. I love them shoes somebody was wearing. I go, who? And they go, sister so-and-so, there were some pretty shoes. I go, really? They could wear the same shoes every Sunday. I wouldn't know the difference. Plus, I'm colorblind. So they don't help anything. So, I'm a typical man. That's right. Matter of fact, I started to wear a tie just a couple weeks ago. I picked up the tie and said, I like this tie. This would be a nice one to wear with this suit. My wife said, you wore that last Sunday. Did I? Yeah, you wore it last Sunday. She said, matter of fact, you wore it two times this month. I did. Who's keeping count? I had no idea. Okay, but still, when I get so concerned about God, I've got to stand at your judgment seat. And you're going to judge me for me. And guess what? The other stuff don't even, honestly, it gets a whole different meaning. Because now I'm concerned with God, I need to be pushing your kingdom. And I need to be used to the best of my ability. When I sweep in front of my house, everybody else sweeps in front of their house, the whole street is clean. And that's why Nehemiah was so successful, because he put everybody in front of their house to build the wall in front of their house. And when they built the wall in front of their house, they did in 28 days what hadn't been done in 150 years, because now they're in front of their house and they're taking care of their family and they're taking care of what's in front of them. And so everybody's taking care, and it's done in just a matter of days. Why couldn't it be done in 100 years? Wow. God, I want to be ready. You've given me a talent. You give us all talents. You give some of us five. You give some of us two. You give some of us one. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that the person that picks up the trash can and empties it has the same, or stands in the same reward as the person that picks up the Bible and delivers the message. I thank you, God, that the person who may think it's insignificant, but they may even scrub the toilets and say, wow, God's not even watching this. The Bible says that in the body of Christ, the more comely parts, they get the greater honor. And so, Father, I thank you that you're watching, that you got it covered. And Lord, help me, Lord, not to get a critical spirit, but to help me be like Nehemiah, build a wall in front of my house, and know that I'm going to stand at the beam of judgment seat. And it's what I do that counts. Father, I love you. And I thank you for this ability that you've given us. And I thank you, God, there's coming a day when we can hear, welcome, well done, my good and faithful servant. I believe it's coming so close now with Hezbollah, with ISIS, with all these Arab states. The Antichrist is going to be using part of an Arabic or a Muslim system, because the Bible talks about the Antichrist cutting people's heads off. And we know where that comes from. Father, that's happening right now in Iraq. People are losing their head for standing for Jesus. Lord, help me be ready, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I thank you, because I know great is our reward. Great is our reward. And Father, I hear people all the time talking about all the great rewards they want to get in heaven. You know, Lord, honestly, just being with you forever. No more pain, no more sickness, no more heartache, no more disease, no more needs. That's good enough for me. Father, I just want you to be pleased with what I do. I want you to be pleased with what all of us do. In the name of Jesus, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. And you give every last one of us a call. Lord, I may be the finger, I may be the toe, I may be the ear, I may be the nose. It doesn't matter, as long as I'm part of the body. I thank you for it. Right now, in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Now, Sunday morning, if you've ever felt like you've limped across the finish line, Sunday morning, you're going to want to get some folks here. Limping over the finish line. I was showing my wife.